I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm taking the taboos of menopause and perimenopause and bringing light to the dark. No bullshit, no shame. It's time for us to gain a new paradigm in female health, out with the old and in with the new, and I'm bringing fresh perspectives from someone in the arena. I've been practicing women's health for nearly 20 years, and I'm spilling the tea on what it means to live at midlife, knowing that the best is yet to come. I'm sharing my Gen X approach to living through this transition, sassy, a bit sweary, and always honest. Tactical tips and instantly usable information is my aim. I hope to make you laugh and that you learn something new that helps you embrace the change. Together, we bring power to the peri. Onward to the podcast. Hello, beautiful people. Dr. Fiona Lovely here. This is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. And I'm excited to introduce a guest today that I think is making real waves in the menopause and perimenopause healthcare space. That would be Joanna Strober, CEO and co-founder of Midi Health, the leading virtual care clinic focused exclusively on women navigating midlife hormonal transition. The company brings insurance-covered expert care for the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause to women nationwide. And I am speaking about the United States, which we do talk about in the episode, how you access care if you're outside. A successful serial entrepreneur in the digital health space, Joanna previously served as the CEO and co-founder of Curbo, the first digital therapeutic for childhood obesity, which she sold to Weight Watchers. Recently named to the Forbes 50 Over 50 list and featured speaker at the 2013 Fortune Most Powerful Women Conference, Joanna is a frequently quoted expert on issues related to digital health, women in business, startups, and leadership. Prior to becoming a founder, Joanna spent more than 20 years in private, direct equity, and venture capital investing in health and consumer companies, including a number of notable consumer internet companies, such as Blue Nile, eToys, Baby Center, Hot Jobs, and Flycast. Joanna is also the author of the book, Getting to 50-50, a primer on how women can succeed and thrive at work and at home. And I'm going to encourage you to go to look at the Instagram account for Midi, which is at Midi, M-I-D-I, Health, H-E-A-L-T-H, at Midi Health, or on Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/joinmidi, and the website associated, you're going to want to write this down, is joinmidi.com. Now, this is a little bit of a different interview for me because usually I have healthcare experts that come on and not necessarily the people that are running the companies. But in this case, I really wanted to speak to Joanna Strober because she started this company that really kind of kicked off this whole virtual care menopause clinics for women in the United States. And I really, hearing her talk about how she came to the place where she realized there wasn't equity for women in the virtual space for menopause, she decided to go about creating it. Don't you love that? So Midi was founded in 2021, and Joanna goes on to tell her story on not only on the website, but certainly on the show as well. And I could relate to so much of what she was talking about, whether it was the demoralization of not feeling great and not being able to get appropriate help, or not feeling strong, or not feeling sharp, or not being able to sleep. I mean, these things are huge for a lot of women, myself included. So she and the other founder of Midi Health went about compiling the research and created wellness protocols that are available to anybody who is getting care with Midi.com. Now, you can use, insurance covers the Midi services, but you can also do a cash visit if you don't have insurance. And they're licensed in many states. So it's really fascinating to look at how women's healthcare is evolving in the virtual space. And the beautiful thing about the virtual space is we can access it from anywhere. We don't have to physically be present. Of course, we can have referrals to local practitioners if needed, but I just love that it brings a certain equality across the board if we can access it from wherever. So please have a listen to this beautiful conversation I had recently with the CEO and co-founder of Midi Health, that's joinmidi.com, Joanna Strober. Our next partner is AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it every day in the morning to break my fast. It makes me feel like I'm doing something good for my body, that I'm covering my nutritional bases. This simple daily habit allows me to cover those nutritional bases no matter what the day brings. Oh my gosh, because we never know what the day's going to bring. AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that delivers comprehensive nutrients to support whole body health, replacing your multivitamin, probiotic, and more in one simple drinkable habit. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/FionaLovely. That's drinkag1.com/FionaLovely. You can find the link in the show notes. Check it out. Okay, ladies, welcome to the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm so excited to have a conversation today with CEO and co-founder of Midi Health, Joanna Strober. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Thrilled to have you on the show. I get to meet the most interesting people through this show, and I'm just so blessed to have you come on and talk about your experience with Midi Health. Now, I wanted to share a quote from you from the joinmidi.com website, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a good jumping off point. Let's put it that way. Okay, here we go. You say, my friends, amazing, ambitious women going full speed ahead, were getting derailed in their lives and their careers. They were downsizing rather than upsizing because they felt worn out from dealing with symptoms. Now, I realize this lack of care is an issue of equity. My whole career, I focused on equity for women and for parents. I saw that women could not reach their potential without access to great healthcare in midlife. I got curious. I got angry. And with the help of my co-founders, I got moving. That's really the genesis of Midi.
Yeah.
I love it. Tell us more.
So I was in my mid-40s when I really started having menopause symptoms. But honestly, I didn't even know the word menopause. Well, I knew menopause, but menopause was old ladies and it was women who had stopped having their period or like they all had gray hair in the ads. Honestly, I had no idea it was perimenopause. But what happened was when I stopped sleeping, I was really demoralized, right? I started overeating. I started getting brain fog. I started getting really nervous about my health. And you know, when you're experiencing all those things, it's very hard to concentrate on work. And so I was thinking a lot about downsizing my career rather than upsizing because I couldn't imagine being successful when I wasn't sleeping at night. So what I learned was that, and we can talk more about this, by the time I finally got the care that I needed and I started to sleep, my whole worldview changed. You realize how much of your health is actually tied to how you're able to perform during the day. I was asking a lot of my friends about this and they were all going through the same thing. They were all really worried about whether or not they could continue to perform as well as they wanted in their careers and honestly with their marriages when they were getting derailed. So that's really a lot of what I think we need to fix is we need to enable women to feel like as they're aging, as they're, you know, going through their 40s and 50s, that they can be really powerful in anything that they want. And their health is a big part of that.
Yeah. And we've got this sort of culture that keeps all of this quiet. It's quite fascinating when you see it and you realize that there's a lot of women that are suffering in silence still. And I can relate to the sleep issues. That has been my primary symptom as well. And I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have great access to care, compassionate care, and someone who understands what it means to be a women's healthcare provider. So I also love what you talked about, the anger that comes. It's a big deal, isn't it? I feel it too. I feel it too. It just rises and takes over, doesn't it?
That's true. You kind of get angry about a lot of things. First of all, you're angry that you don't feel good. And then you're angry that the care feels so untargeted. I ended up but I did drive to San Francisco. So an hour away to find a provider who was able to help me. But the fact is there's so many providers right near me who were just unable to help me. And that was really frustrating to me that I had to take off a day of work and to go get this kind of care. So a lot of what I was thinking about is, you know, how do we make it ubiquitous so that women could get it from home? And also, honestly, part of it is you don't want to have these conversations in a doctor's office. Like, I actually get angry when I go to the doctor, quite honestly, I've realized. Sitting in an office, waiting for them to check you in, then going in some room where they weigh you and they take your blood pressure, waiting for the doctor to come in. And then you have to put on that robe. And then you're like, I don't want to talk to you about these things while I'm sitting there in this robe on this table. Like, I'm not going to start talking to you at that point about the fact that I'm not really enjoying sex anymore. And what am I going to do about that? Like, that's not the place for these conversations. So I find that I actually get kind of frustrated every time I go to the doctor. I actually think telehealth is much better suited for these things because it is much more comfortable to have these conversations in the way that you and I are talking than in the impersonal kind of hurry of a doctor's office.
I absolutely agree. And just recently, I had the experience of being weighed and then having my blood pressure taken. And I said to the nurse, I was like, this is just a shitty idea all the way around.
Yes.
Like, you tell me what my weight is, and then you're going to take my blood pressure and think it's going to be normal? No.
Why do they have to weigh us every time we go in there? Like, it's things like that that feel really frustrating and not very emotionally satisfying.
So why do you think it is, now that you have talked about the fact that there were doctors in your area that were just unwilling to do it? What do you, now that you've brought doctors and healthcare practitioners that know menopause care and women's healthcare at midlife, what do you think is the factor there? What's missing for those doctors?
So let me tell you a little bit about what we did with MIDI and then why, what I'm learning. So before we started the MIDI platform, we spent a year creating care protocols. Actually, we spent a year doing two things. One was creating care protocols. And we basically went out to the experts and researchers around the world and asked them, what would expert care look like? And what would it look like if someone wanted hormones, if they wanted medications, but not hormones, if they wanted supplements, or if they wanted lifestyle? And we did that for every symptom of menopause, whether that was sleep or lack of libido or joint pain, itchy ears, like all the random symptoms. We went out and got all that research. And then we compiled that and we said, okay, if you had a hysterectomy, how would this matter? If you had cancer, how would this matter? And we put that in. This is this thick. You can't see me. This is an enormous amount of data. And what I've realized is that no one provider can know that. So if you go to a primary care physician, they have 6 minutes with you per visit. They're not going to know all the different information. So their automatic response is going to be no, because they don't have all the data. It is partially how the medical system has been built with specialists. So you have all these specialists who just specialize in individual body parts, and they don't have any impression of you as a holistic woman. They're not trained to think about you. If you go to a sleep specialist, they're not trained to think about where there's estrogen involved. They're trained to think about your nose and whether you have sleep apnea. And honestly, if you go to a therapist, the therapist is trained to talk to you about your anxiety. They're not thinking, oh, maybe this is just hormone related. And, you know, as someone who went to marriage therapy, the fact that I went to marriage therapy and we talked about my lack of sexual desire every week for months, and the person never said to me, well, maybe this is related to your hormones. So all of these people are trained in their own silos. And so women's health is just, there's no one who's a specialist in women's health. So that's what we have created, is these care protocols that then you have all the information in one place. And then we can make sure that women get access to the highest quality care. Most doctors can't do that. And so actually, I can't blame them. I mean, in their 6-minute visit, they're not going to be able to understand all this information and understand where someone who has cancer might actually be eligible for hormones. That's too complicated for them. So their answer is always no. And then also, it's a gift of time, quite honestly, that we have really long visits. So our visits are structured to be a half hour long. Those doctors in a regular primary care doctor or a regular OBGYN, they literally are supposed to do visits in 6 to 10 minutes max. They just don't have the time. And that's how their business model works. So it's not that they don't want to spend more time with you. They just can't to make their business model work. So that's the other issue, is these visits and this type of care takes time and knowledge. And there's just not enough of that.
Wow. You've touched on so many important issues in the midlife era here. And I love that you've picked up these threads and said, let's create something that is kind to women. Now, you've said that MIDI is a sort of a telehealth experience. Tell us more about how someone becomes a patient of MIDI, how the interactions go, and who is it that we're actually seeing?
The platform is designed to help women in midlife. That's why it's called MIDI, for midlife. Designed from kind of 35 and up. It's a pretty broad age range. You'd be surprised how many women are actually experiencing, you know, postpartum issues and perimenopause at the same time. Very common. So what we do is we have developed this platform where you come to us, you just book a visit. It's really easy. We are covered by insurance. We have a lot of insurance. We are working on getting more insurance, but we have a lot of insurance coverage already. You can also have a cash pay visit if you don't have insurance, but 90% of our patients are covered by insurance. So you come, you book a visit, you get a questionnaire sent to you with a bunch of questions that we ask you to fill out before the visit so that we understand you as well as we can. And we can make sure that we provide very targeted care. You meet with a nurse practitioner usually. They are all able to prescribe medications and you have a visit. You then go back and whether you want supplements or hormones, we give you whatever's appropriate. And then you book a follow-up visit about 4 weeks later, where then we titrate, because there's a lot of titrating. It's a lot of making sure that we gave you the right amount, that you're responding well. And then usually it only takes a few visits before someone is feeling better.
Amazing. Yeah, and I firmly believe in the test and tweak model. You can't just keep taking the same level of hormones. Some women can, I suppose, for the rest of your life. But I think as we progress through perimenopause, et cetera, we find that, you know, our needs change, right? What I'm taking in progesterone now at 50 is different than it was at 46. So, and I'm going to guess it'll be different in a year or so too, right? So it just changes all the time. I wonder about the protocols that you have created, which is extraordinary. Thank you so much for doing that work. Because I think when we start to, you know, it's the 4 minute mile. Somebody has to show up and do the thing that hasn't been done before first, so that the rest of us can benefit from that kind of modeling. And we're starting to see that pop up as well. You're not the only virtual clinic, but the best, of course, and probably the original. Yes.
We are the first one to take insurance, actually. The first and still only one who's taking insurance.
Amazing. So if, let's say I live in Kansas, is that a covered state? Is that how it works? Or do we have to meet with a practitioner that's in that state? How does that work?
So what we do is we train providers and then we get them licensed in multiple states. So our really good providers will have licensed in 15 or 20 states to make sure that we can offer them across the country. And so that's actually how we're able to scale access to expert care. If you are in Kansas, I know we have United Healthcare. I don't know what other health care we have in Kansas, but in each state, we have access to different insurance companies. And we're working as fast as we can to get more of them. That's like the biggest complaint I get is, why don't we have your insurance in our state? We're working as fast as we can do that. But we will eventually have the vast majority of PPOs, and then we'll go and expand after that.
Wonderful. As I'm in Canada, by the way, so we have a different model up here, but most of my listeners are in the US. So it's good that we have options for the US. And interestingly enough, I am in a system of socialized medicine. So I pay for my healthcare with my tax dollars and I couldn't get the care I needed. So I pay privately to get the care. So it's not dissimilar here.
Right.
Right. It's still, and every single day I'm in my own clinic working with my patients, they're saying, we want a provider, a prescriber that knows what you know. How come we can't find that? So again, it's about that education piece, which I just absolutely love. And I love that you're training practitioners as well. And what, like just your business mind around that, the scalability of that was not about moving people around physically. It was actually getting them licensed in multiple states. Like, thank you. Thank you for being the one who said that. Let's do that. It makes far better sense to do that.
I love that. This is how women want to, what they want to do is they can have these conversations at work. They can have these conversations late at night, right? They're not something you need to go to the doctor's office about, but you know, we actually have a really large distribution center in California where women go just take the visits from their car. They go during their break and they go sit in their car and they can do the conversations there. So a lot of this is about accessibility, right? Making sure that you can, no matter who you are, you have access. And that's the great thing about telehealth is that you can get access to great care wherever you are.
That's amazing. That's just wonderful. So another quote that I pulled off the joinmidi.com website from you says this, to go back to an earlier conversation we were having. Interestingly, every OBGYN I spoke with confirmed that hormone therapy is safe for the vast majority of women and that they were on it personally, but they wouldn't recommend it to a patient unless she brought it up. Talk about that moment that puts fire in your veins. Like, that just makes me mad when I hear that. So
isn't that weird?
It's the strangest thing.
I wish I understood it better. They're very reticent. And then you ask them and they're on it. And, you know, they're taking testosterone or they're, you know, they're using a lot of different products, but they're not necessarily telling their patients about them. So I have found that to be quite common. And then the women have to really ask before they get the information that they need. It's not easily volunteered to them.
Yeah. Wow. And the thing I find here that's where I practice, it's very interesting, is that even the gynecologists don't have the skills to do the HRT prescribing. Right. Now, whether that's a choice on their behalf, I think I heard it was Dr. Mary Claire Haver say that in her training as an OBGYN, she got very little, tiny amount of hours of menopause training versus the amount of hours she got in obstetrics.
Right. No, that's right. They don't get the training. Honestly, the reality is the money isn't delivering babies. And most people go to become an OBGYN because they want to deliver babies. Yeah. And so this is not a big part of their training. It's just not a big part of the competency that they're learning. But they are the ones who learn the most compared to the primary care physicians who have no learning about it. So This is part of the challenge. And honestly, you know, in the US system, as I was saying, things are super siloed. For example, mm-hmm. there's a very large health insurance system where, as we all know, weight is closely tied to issues of menopause, right? So often when women are going through menopause, they're also gaining weight. They have a lot of questions about that. In this very large health system, those doctors are not allowed, the OBGYNs are not even allowed to talk to the women about weight. They're told they must send them to someone else. That's their protocol. So I kind of joke at MIDI that we are, our three competencies are hormones, weight, and sex. <I'm> like, if you can do all of those things, then, yeah. And that's, you know, that's what we need to do. But these doctors in this system are being told they are not allowed to talk about, they're only allowed to talk about one of those three. So they're like completely siloed.
Yeah.
And so that's not holistic care, right? So that's, I think that's one of the interesting things that we're trying to change is that one provider can do everything.
Yeah. And I think the problem really goes back to likely how the training is being done. And it's, you know, when I speak, when I lecture or I'm talking on the podcast or even to patients in the office, I'm saying to them, look, 1901, women lived to the age of 50. And for that 123, 24 years since then, we were left out of most of the medical research.
Right.
And so what we know about women's hormones and women's longevity and all of that is either informed by research done on men or it's just not yet been developed. So it's emerging.
I'm hopeful that some of the Biden initiative dollars that they're talking about for women's health will go towards these issues.
I sure hope so.
I know you talk about, and that's super important, is that because of the misinterpretation of the Women's Health Initiative study that made people unnecessarily scared of hormones, a lot of research stopped on hormones. And so there's a lot of unknowns that have not been researched in the last 25 years. And I'm hopeful that we'll get more research dollars in that direction.
And did I hear that there was a new initiative that happened just this week that was billions of dollars, was it not?
That's right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're going to start up. Yeah, so that's what we need, right? We need billions of dollars of research into women's health specifically so that we can start having more research that we can integrate into our protocols so that we can make sure that everyone is getting access to the highest quality information and care.
Yes. And how do you do that? How do you keep the protocols update? Because the research is coming so fast these days. Literally, right. It feels like every week there's several bits of new literature that need to be integrated. That and I'm loving every minute of it, but it's got to be like, how do you keep that? How do you keep it updated? How do you integrate that?
Yeah, so that's why I'm so proud of our care. And it gets back to the fact that that's why most doctors couldn't do what we're doing, individual doctors. So we have a team of people who every week look at the research and update our protocols, depending on what the research is indicating. We use then technology to update everything. So it really makes it so that we're able to scale access to really high quality information and care in a way that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Amazing. So important. It's really very so much important. Well, you know, you talk about equity as the driving force for a lot of your career and certainly of MIDI. Talk a little bit about that with me, please.
I think a lot of my career has been thinking about how we can really help women and moms thrive. That is just something that I've cared deeply about. I think I've had five careers after being a lawyer, which I only survived being for a year.
I get it.
I actually started working at a venture capital firm, and I was the only woman there, and I was pregnant. And there was a company getting started called Baby Center. I started talking to the founders of that company. I was like, oh my God, I need this. That was one of my first investments. I was pregnant. You know, Baby Center is still around many years later. It's a worldwide phenomenon still. But I funded that when I was pregnant, and I understood the need for it. And I understood why I needed a product like that. And so what I have learned is you need investors who have money, who fund things that women need. And that means having women investors, because the men won't understand, right? They just won't understand the needs of women. And it's just hard to understand. It's not blaming them. It's just hard to understand. If you're not going through it themselves, you might not understand why this is such a valuable product. And so a lot of what I think about is how do we get money and funding to companies that serve different populations and make sure that they get enough money that they're able to really grow and thrive. So I have thought a lot about that and how we make sure that women's health, particularly right now, gets the right amount of funding so that there are great, enormous companies that could be built in women's health if they had the money to do it. In order to get money, you have to have people who understand what you're doing. So it's a bit circular, right? So yeah. I spend a lot of time thinking about how I can help women get more capital and help them grow businesses that serve women.
Fascinating. And thank you for being that person for us. Recently, I heard that only 1% of the world's wealth is owned by women.
Wow.
1%. And that made me mad as hell. That righteous anger we talked about, that one makes me mad as hell. Because what we know from social work psychology studies is that female-led communities have much better health across the board, whether it's financial health or nutrition or healthcare itself or education. The women and children are cared for. It's just a very different experience. And so we know this is true. You've just touched on it and said, we need investors that understand the importance of this. And if we've only got 1% of the world's wealth being owned by women, that's a barrier to getting these kinds of things funded.
Yeah, that's right. That's something I care a lot about. And I think a lot about it. We at MIDI have raised capital from the most amazing women venture people. And I love collaborating with them. And I feel so fortunate to have them as investors. And we need more of them. We really need more of them who have access to capital so they can help build great companies.
Well, and I've heard it said that when women are wealthy, communities, the world is better off. We're all better off because we tend to share, right? We tend to make sure the people in our community is cared for. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I thought so too. Well, this is incredibly important work. So if somebody's listening that is located in the United States and wants to become a patient of MIDI, can you tell them again how that happens, please?
Yes, all you need to do is go to our website at joinmidi.com. And we have a variety of options. We have a self-pay option or an insurance-covered option, so you can do both. And you book a visit with one of our providers, and then we will take care of you. And our goal is just to give everyone access to the highest quality care for all the things that they're experiencing during this wonderful and challenging part of our lives.
Oh, I love it. So for those of us that are outside of the United States, is there, if we're doing a cash payout, is that an option for international or not at this time?
It is not an option right now. You know, we are medical providers, and so we have to be licensed wherever we are that we're seeing patients. I hope one day that we are outside of the United States, but right now we're only able to provide care to people in the United States.
Joanna, when you come to Canada, give me a call, sister.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
I love what you're doing. I just think it's absolutely extraordinary. So if people, you've told us about the website where people can go to, or women can go to become patients of the United States. If they, I'll say we're outside of Canada and just want to watch what MIDI is doing to see, wait for that announcement, if you will. I know lots to be done within the US first. Is there an Instagram, a Facebook?
Yes.
Where would you like people to go?
I love our Instagram. I am so proud of our Instagram. We have patients who send in their testimonials all the time that we post on our Instagram. And we also have a lot of information there. We think one of our jobs is to educate people. And so we've put a lot of education on the Instagram as well. So we really want to educate women on here are their symptoms they're going through. Here's how you can fix them. And we spend a lot of our time educating. So you can also sign up for webinars. We're doing a webinar tomorrow. Actually today, I think, on what Black women need to know about menopause with two Black OBGYNs who are going to be talking about that. Every week we have different webinars on different topics, and you can always find those on Instagram as well. So we take our role as educators very seriously, and you can find all the education there.
Awesome. What is the at on Instagram?
Ah, that is a good question. Let me tell you. It is
yes.
At MIDI Health. Yeah,
MIDI
okay. Health.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Very good. Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's good. Today we posted three supplements for sleep health. So
amazing.
You can see we take our job as educating really seriously.
Yeah. By the way, I love what you talk about on the website about how you tried all the standard things for sleep and it made a little bit of a difference, but not much. And then your doctor gave you sleeping pills and said, don't take them because they're addictive. I can so relate to all of that. But you even tried cannabis for it or CBD for it. You tried the melatonin, you tried all the things. So I think there's a lot of women that will resonate with that part of your story. I certainly did, for sure.
Yeah.
I ask a final question of all my guests on the show, and thank you again for coming. And I think it's a good time for that question now, which is this: knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self?
Oh, I love that question. And I've heard you answer it before. I've heard you ask it before. You know, I just think resiliency is so key. And as I mentioned to you before, I've had five careers. I've had successful careers and I've been fired and I have, you know, gotten laid off and I've started companies and I've built companies. And, you know, I think just understanding how important it is to just keep going is really important. And just the level of resilience that you need is key. But one of my favorite sayings that I heard, and I actually have posted on my board, is when you get tired, rest, don't quit.
Oh, I like that.
And I love that. So I remind myself of that all the time. And, you know, you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. I would tell myself, you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. It's not all going to be easy, but the ability to triumph is there and you have to just keep going.
I love it. Say it again, please. When you're tired.
When you're tired, rest, don't quit.
I love it. Joanna Strober of MIDI Health. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you for including me.
My pleasure. The information and other content provided in this show or in any linked materials is not intended and should not be construed as medical advice, nor is the information a substitute for professional medical expertise or treatment. We are doctors, but we aren't your doctor. Seek your doctor's opinion. If you or any other person has a medical concern, you should consult with your healthcare provider or seek other professional medical treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have heard in this podcast or in any linked materials. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or emergency services immediately. The opinions and views expressed on this page and in this show have no relation to those of any academic, hospital, health practice, or other institution. Thank you.